Welcome to theconversation.org, making sense of these times.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great.
This show is brought to you by MightyCompanions.org. And now your host, Suzanne Taylor.
Francine Blake, one of the leading researchers from Crop Circle Land, publishes one of the better publications called The Spiral about crop circles. She lectures about crop circles. She's been at this for many years, and she really is one of the central figures and one of the most beautiful figures. I hope that she'll come over to the United States this fall, and we'll be able to do some workshops. If you're interested, be in touch with us. So we have been just chatting about crop circles, and now turning the tape recorder on and seeing what we can bring to you about this most wonderful subject that I've been fascinated by for years now, many years now. So this is Francine Blake, coordinator of the Wilshire Crop Circle Study Group in the heart of crop circle country in England.
For the first time, this time, and I've been following this since before they got complicated, I had a friend who had a son stationed over here, and in the 80s he showed me his photo album, and I said, oh my goodness, the boy used to go out every weekend or every leave and take pictures of these simple circles. And so I was very well aware of them before they started to get complicated. And when they did and we started to get news of that, I was already breathless, you know. And so I've been tuned in since the beginning of the complification. No, complex. I was tuned in since the beginning of the time it got complicated. So, and I've always been of the opinion that, aside from obvious occasional hoaxes, whether they're advertising and we know they're hoaxes, or whether they're occasional whatever reason people might go and do that, but that there are very few of those going on. But this season over here, all of a sudden this window opened that was, my goodness, maybe a lot of them are hoaxes. Now, at some level it just doesn't matter, because if there's one real one, that's what's interesting. And to have the whole conversation or the whole public interest or disinterest, what have you, be about whether they're hoaxes or not, that's not my subject. But as I started to think that perhaps a lot of them are hoaxes, and I had someone show me, one of the researchers showed me, we were in one, and I saw in one that it never occurred to me that it was hoax, why it no doubt was, because of the various things that were going on in the crop. And all of a sudden I said, oh my God, maybe a lot of them are hoax. But then, why would that be? Who would be responsible for that? If indeed it's possible that a lot of them are hoax, it's a very puzzling and troubling question as to who might be responsible for that.
Well, I'm not aware of hoaxes. You see, we make a distinction between hoaxes and man-made. So the formation you went into, was that man-made or was that a hoax? Was that man-made for an advertisement,
no,
for example?
No, it was ostensibly a real formation, but it was pointed out to me how the differences between what a real formation would have been doing and what this formation was doing.
And what was that? What was that?
Well, there were several things. First of all, it had a lot of standing stalks that were swirled around, and what this person showed me was that if the real formations, the formations that are not hoaxed, seem to be woven together when they are swirled around in the center. They were not just standing stalks, they were swirled and then standing. But that there was no cross-connecting of the stalks.
Right.
Whereby when we were in that beautiful one in Barley,
yeah,
the nest in there, you couldn't separate those stalks. They all came,
yes,
up of a piece.
Yes.
And he said, see, that's what hoaxers do.
That's not an indication that it's hoaxed. They're all different. We can't say they're all woven, because that's not the case.
He's somebody who's very much into the geometries, and
yeah,
he was showing me where the spirals were and how off they were from where the spirals would have been in these,
right,
beautiful spiral sweeps,
mm-hmm,
that he presumes all the genuine. And also he got nothing on his dowsing rods.
Right.
And he's very facile with his rods.
Yeah.
So I guess that was his first indication when he didn't get anything on the rods. And then he was looking for, okay, so now why doesn't, what is there about this lay that doesn't conform to what he perceives to be real formations?
Well, I think you are answering it yourself. He perceives and he has an opinion. It is not an indication, it's a hoax.
Well, I realize there's no definitive yes or no's on these things.
There isn't, actually. There isn't. They are all different, and crop circle are very, very difficult to study because they don't have anything that can be repeated. They are all different. Sometimes they're woven, sometimes they're not woven. Sometimes it goes in a beautiful swirl, sometimes it's all standing up. It doesn't mean it's man-made.
Well, he was showing me how from... for instance, rollers probably were done. There weren't any stand. The green stalks at the tram lines that usually remain standing, those were flattened. Everything was flattened. There wasn't anything standing. And there's usually, you know, some amount of standing crop in these so-called genuine formations.
Well, sometimes there isn't. There is nothing so easy about crop circle that we get determined like that. The man-made ones, I can only judge by what I see. Not by what other people think. When people do it by hand, it takes them a very, very long time. And it's very childish. The design is quite childlike. And the execution is very simple. But what is interesting is the amount of time it takes. Every year we have there's a commission that's made it. We make a distinction between hoax and man-made, actually. A hoax is something that's done in criminal circumstances. It's trespassing, it's damaging somebody's crop. It has to be done in a very short window of darkness. And there is an element of fear. I mean, they have to hurry up. If they're caught, they would be charged £10,000 by the Farmers Union.
But no one's ever
they would become, and they will have a criminal record. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can't take your time to do that. You have to rush. And we're watching. We know where they come, these crop circles. They always come in the same area. Mm-hmm. And whenever there is something going on by hand for an advertisement or anything like that, we spot them immediately.
Yeah.
So why is it that when they do something simple for an advertisement, it takes 1 or 2 days in full daylight, they have to pay the farmer, and everyone immediately sees them in there. And when they do this complicated, extraordinary formation in darkness, they never see.
When I just have heard recently that Colin Andrews has these incredible tales. You know, he was our granddaddy, kind of, one of our granddaddies that we all appreciated. Mm-hmm. And then what are these funny stories he's telling on television now? What accounts for this, Francine? What could account for
it? I don't want to be sued by talking about other people, but it seems when we study crop circle, one of the side effects of studying crop circle is we learn a lot about human nature. We learn an awful lot of how the human mind works. In the case of some of the early researchers who went in there with their heart in it and they were genuinely interested, and because they were there in the early times, they were put on a pedestal and regarded very highly. I regarded them highly. You did too, and we thought they were wonderful and they, you know, they had perceived something. But when the great debunk was done in 1991 with Doug and Dave, and they were made to lose faith in front of the television, I would say the majority never recovered. And it's left them so frightened of being laughed at because perhaps they were not connected with the spirit of this. They weren't really linked inside with it. It was an analysis from the head. So when the head was threatened and the ego was threatened and they lost face because people said, well, this, you think this is real, but actually we made it last night. Now I would say, prove it. Prove it. I don't believe what you say. Do one in front of me, then I'll believe what you say. But they immediately believed it.
And the media believed it.
They immediately believed.
The media?
The researchers. The researchers. Who were told, they were called in to judge a crop formation. And they were set up.
Yes.
And when they said, yes, it's definitely genuine, blah, 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 the lay, the nose and so on, and the interviewer said, well, would you like to know that actually this was done last night by us and it's a man-made one? And they immediately believed it. Now, I wouldn't believe that.
Ah,
I would not believe that.
Saying.
I would say, as I often say when they tell me these things, fair enough, back it up with some evidence. I don't know if you made it or not. Prove it. But the early researchers were so taken aback, it was so unexpected, that they lost faith completely. It hurt them so badly that they never recovered, as far as I can see. All the early researchers are petrified of saying it's real, and it turns out not to be. So they say it's all fake, and they play safe. They've already got their reputation. That's how I explain it.
But how can Colin Andrews, who is so steeped in all of this, years beyond Doug and Dave, when they've been discredited, Doug and Dave are now widely discredited, except in the minds of the public, who still think Doug and Dave did it all. But anybody, you know, anybody in the community knows that's ridiculous. So why would Colin still be so affected that
he's never recovered? Like the majority of the early researchers, they never recovered. They were not connected with the spirit. They were connected with, it was a head thing. They tried to understand with the head. And the crop circle, if you don't connect to the subject with your spirit, you will end up going against it. It's guaranteed. Everyone who approaches it from a mind and try to crack the code and be the one who discovers the answer and gets the glory for it and breaks their head over the subject, they end up debunking all
of that. That's an interesting point of view. That maybe
it is not just a purely physical thing, this. It is a spiritual event. And if you don't feel it with your spirit, if it doesn't feed your spirit, it feeds the ego. It feeds something. It's a pure energy.
It's so like you've gone mad, though. My goodness, how much... I mean, spirit is really taking him down.
If you go under that energy, you place yourself under that energy, it's coming down, it's a very strong energy, it's a cosmic energy. If you don't approach it with the spirit, so it feeds the spirit, what does it feed? It feeds whatever is on the surface. Well, if it's your desire to manipulate, it will feed that. If you've got a big ego, it will feed that. Whatever it is, it accentuates it.
Well, the only way I can really make sense of that is that he's really gone mad. Because when you look at the phenomenon, you look at the triple Julias, you look at, you know, the complex ones, that this man could come out with this statements that he's making this week.
Well, he's being taken to task, though. He's used to make big pronouncements from the top of his reputation, you know. 80% of man-made, money from the Rockefeller, blah, blah, blah. He's been asked to prove it now. You know, the media is cottoning on to that and are ringing me and saying, is it true? Well, ask him. Ask him to give evidence. What have you got to back up your statement? Mm-hmm. You know, and actually he has nothing. Because he doesn't really study them anymore. He doesn't live here. Mm-hmm. He comes in the summer. He sees a few, maybe. But he's not in all the formation by any means. By any means. So he doesn't know much about it. He doesn't know all the periphery of what is happening. And he's not in touch with research anymore, really, I think.
None of this really makes sense, though, when you stop to think about it. The awesome nature of this phenomenon and a person like that who is as familiar as he is, given that he's not as familiar as he could be, but that as familiar as he is, that he would come out with statements like that. It just seems like the world has gone insane.
Yes, but it's true. Well, that's what I'm saying. It will feed whatever you bring to it. Oh, yeah. And it's not a phenomenon without danger. And many, many people go in there. That's why the group that the Cross Circle study group that I run here, we place it very much on a spiritual approach. And we do a lot of work, inner work in ourselves and grounding work. And we try and understand it. We try and meet it with our three centers, with our mind, with the evidence of our senses, our body, and with our spirit. Because if you don't do that, it's very lopsided. It's very unbalanced, and sooner or later, it will create difficulty.
Well, I have to chew on this because nothing makes sense to me of these reversals of position.
Well, let's put it like this. If you only approach it from the head, you're talking about supposition and theories and trying to prove and trying to crack it and so on. If you're not grounded, and if you don't use evidence of your senses, because people who make pronouncements like that don't ever back it up with evidence. You have to have some evidence. What does it do to the soil? What does it do to the plant? You know, how long does it take to do something like that by hand? Mm-hmm. This is just simple common sense.
He's lost his common sense, because common sense would tell you.
Yes, but you see, I've been trying to get these on television for years and years, and I send images and so on. And they ask me what it is, and I say, all I can tell you is something is happening, it's real, There are thousands of them. It's leading us somewhere. There's a wonderful teaching coming out of this. It's teaching us about the nature of our reality, the nature of our world. Nobody wants to know that. Someone comes along and say, hey, I've got the answer. 88% is raw, is fake. Immediately they get major coverage.
Yes, I see that. It's the controversy that gets covered.
If you want glory, and if you want to be on television, and if you want people to ring you up all the time from the media, you just make these pronouncements.
You don't suppose he's kind of doing something clever in getting some attention to the situation that hasn't been getting any attention, and then he'll turn around and turn the spotlight on the beauty of them and the reality of them, maybe?
I think that all the early researchers we've given up on, actually, we've given up on them. All the people there in the early time who approached it perhaps from a more mechanistic mindset and approached it with the desire to make their name with it, they've all gone astray, mm-hmm. all of them. And they've become the opposite of what they were.
Isn't that interesting?
They have become the opposite of what they were. And if they could have seen themselves in the 80s, if they could have seen in the future and see themselves how they are now, they would have been horrified. Because the people like that in their time gave them so much trouble, so much difficulty, and they feared them like crazy. And now they have become their own worst enemy. The danger for all of us when we enter these studies, we have to enter these studies with knowledge, not like fools. Not
well,
there.
We are dealing in something,
you know,
very awesome.
We have to go there grounded and with some awareness and understanding. We have to be armed with knowledge and devoid of preconceived ideas. Armed with knowledge. Otherwise, it will feed all sorts of things. It's like food. It's like manna from heaven. And it can really feed the spirit and make us grow in understanding and transform our perception completely for the better and help us to evolve. But it can also destroy us. It can turn us into the opposite of what we are. Well, and I've seen it by the dozens.
I'm very grateful to be, you know, speaking to you, who's been firsthand here and who has obviously kept the spirit so that I get this perspective. Do you think that some of, I say us, from my own position of awe and appreciation, do you think that we are just blessed that we are available to this phenomenon, and that in good time, that it is happening as it should, so to speak, with so relatively few people who are really appreciating at the level that the few people are, and that that's something that the circle makers are not being thwarted by an ignorant world, but are moving as fast as is appropriate, do you think?
Yes, I think that knowledge is always rejected by the masses. It always has been. And people who carry knowledge are usually persecuted. It's always been like that. This time, though, I think that there will be a breakthrough. But there's a lot of resistance, and the resistance is from mindset, people's way of thinking. We're onto a materialistic mindset now. That's what rules. It's a materialistic mindset. This is the opposite.
It will not be easily let go of that mindset.
No, the mindset sees this and feels a threat.
A threat.
And they know that the wind is changing, and when wind changes, it's usually pretty bad for those in power. And they know that, they can sense that. And that happens in every era. You think of Galileo. The earth goes around the sun, not the other way around. And it's not flat, by the way, spherical. He nearly gets killed for his trouble. Now, why didn't they say, hey, this is fantastic, it's wonderful, we're learning something new, we can move forward, it's an evolution. No, they want the earth flat, they don't like it. The whole system was based on the fact that they were the center of the universe, and they had, you know, a hotline to God. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, they're only, you know, part of a little planet that is part of a much greater world. Therefore, it meant that their power was eroded. And it did erode their power. The church eventually lost its power. They were all powerful in those days. So now what is the mindset? A mechanistic, scientific approach. Now this comes along and it's telling us that, hey, your world isn't dead. It's full of life. It's whole. We're part of a much bigger picture. And it's a living world. And not only that, it's multidimensional. You don't live just in one dimension. Now a mechanistic mindset sees that coming. That's the end of the mechanistic mindset. End of story. They're out.
You have to live differently.
You have to live differently. People are free. They can do what they want. They can't be bossed about. We stop being, you know, computers on two legs and wallets on two legs forking out all the time. We regain our independence. We start to think, be more evolved individual. Bad news for those who benefit from the system. So there's a very strong resistance from the mindset. And it doesn't surprise me that we can't get this out. And I think it comes from science. I don't think it comes from government, because anyway, government is advised by scientific bodies. So it's the scientific body that rules, really. It's the scientific mechanistic mindset. So these people can sense, maybe unconsciously, they can sense there's a change in the wind, and they do everything to block it. But it doesn't matter. You can't stop evolution. It will come. It doesn't worry me particularly. But I understand why it is like that, though. And people prefer to hear that it's all of a hoax anyway, because it's too hard to break your head over it, isn't it? It's tiring to break your head over it.
That was beautifully put. That was one of the best statements I've ever heard. And I absolutely am in tune with what you're saying, but you said it so well. I think that is exactly the way we can really make sense of this senselessness that's going on. Mm. It has that larger sense where cultures are always protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. It's built into the nature of reality. Yeah,
well, it's more comfortable to go with the majority. It's very difficult to stand outside and go in a different direction. It's easier to go with the flow. When everybody's going in one direction, it's not difficult. Whereas to stop, think and ponder and start to revise your way of thinking and start to question is difficult. It's going uphill there. But that's what makes us evolve, of course. It's easier to go downhill and let yourself roll down. It's quite hard to go uphill.
Do you have any concern at all that the media is treating this as so insignificant and, you know, all the ways in which they are not appreciating and understanding and speaking the truth? Does it bother you at all? Are you feeling, you know, like it's all moving at the pace that's appropriate?
We can never hope to convert, for lack of a better word, to convert a majority. We can only go sideways and speak to people sideways. And this is how knowledge has always been taught. This is how knowledge has always been passed on. You never have knowledge comes along and all the masses go for it. You look at all the ancient teaching, it was always a group of disciples, a group of people who talk to others, and it was spread throughout the population. It never comes from the top. And it's always a few at a time. So what I do personally, is I give lectures all over the place. Whoever asks me, groups of people, and I do 3 or 4 lectures a month. I go and speak to a room full of people and I show them. Television can say what they want. Eventually, there will be a momentum of people who have a different vision, and the mindset that is the old dinosaur mindset will be left behind. And that's what I say to the media. You'll be left behind. You're just not going with the times, you know? You can't see this, it's fine, you'll be left behind.
Give me some advice, Francine. When I came in 96, I was so aghast that the world was paying so little attention to this awesome thing, that 96 was such a wonderful year with the Julia and the Triple Julia and all the wonderful formations in 96. And I went back and I said, oh, my resolve is to get this into the public eye. Number one project, you know. And I actually made some moves in that direction. I tried to get some powerful people to become interested who could, in fact, influence the media. And those attempts were not successful. Mm. But I've wondered since then, well, maybe that's not it. And you're speaking about it and moving in at a different pace, and that it's all right to have it move. Can I relax? Do you think it's all right? Because I live in Hollywood, you know.
Well, people with influence, of course, and who have connection with the media are very precious to us. And I feel that, you know, this phenomenon is coming here. It is the most exciting thing that humanity has ever come across. This is a direct intervention from the cosmos. And it's very, very important that everyone gets to know of it. And I do my utmost to promote it. You know, we do calendars, we send them to 25 different countries. With all my power, which is limited,
but I use all the power that's given to me
so
to promote this.
Part
so when
is
someone is connected to the deep media and wants to speak about it, it's very important because you never know who is going to listen when you're broadcasting something. It's very, very important that it gets out. It's starting to get out here. The media is now very interested, particularly in this part of the world, in the Wiltshire area. We've had very, very good press coverage. I don't know if you've seen the article by Michael Glickman.
I did.
And I've been sending them my pictures because I've now got the digital system and they've been pushing these pictures. And there's a real turnaround now in this area because they are under that influence anyway.
So those of us who are enthusiastic, it is appropriate for us to do what we can.
Oh,
we
absolutely
are part of the movement.
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. But what happens is every time there is a big push by the media, and there has been, although it's in the province, it's not in London, there has been a big push. The big boys hear of it and they do a massive debunk. And they bring in the Colin Andrews and all the others from the past and come up with platitudes. And then that is put on television big time with big budget, you see. They fear the power of this. And they can sense the power there. They wouldn't spend so much money trying to debunk it if they didn't fear it. But that happens every single time. So it's a sign to me that what we're doing is beginning to work. And if people don't wake up when you keep getting something debunked year after year after year, I would become suspicious. I would want to find out what it is that they're debunking so hard.
Yes, what makes them.
I mean, why are they so desperate to debunk this? I gave a lecture last night to 40 ordinary people, you know, members of a club. And they asked me to speak and they said that they'd heard this debunking going on the television. Because they know nothing of the subject, they didn't remember what was said. All they'd heard was crop circles were on the news.
Interesting.
They couldn't remember what was said because I said to them, they say, oh, lots of things were said. And I said, what did they say? Oh, we can't remember exactly. Perhaps you tell us what was said.
Oh, how interesting.
So, you see, people's attention span is very, very short. And there's very little that permeates our consciousness, really. An ordinary person doesn't take in these things. You have to repeat and repeat and repeat. If you live in Hollywood, you know that.
Yeah.
It has to be repeated and repeated. You see something, television, oh, yeah, it's gone. And all that stays in our mind is crop circles.
Mm. Do you make anything of the fact that it seems odd to me that no one in the real power structure or in the high celebrity status, that no one has become enthusiastic or has learned about this phenomenon? That seems very odd to me.
The explorers of this world are very few in any era. Who makes the discovery? Little group of
one
people.
Person.
Who brought the mechanistic mindset, the materialistic mindset?
Descartes, he did it all.
Descartes. Huh? He goes off to Holland, he writes a
really?
Little newsletter, I think, therefore I am.
My
and
God.
Suddenly it replaces religion. And it was very much needed at the time because nobody was thinking. They were stuck in church dogma. They had to think
yes,
themselves.
Sir.
So I think, therefore, I am was essential to arrive at that time. But it's gone too far.
Right.
Now, so now we have to learn to think and feel and sense, and therefore I am. And there's a lot more to it than that. But, you know, it's gradual. And
gradual.
A small group of people is what changes the world.
I understand. But don't you think it's odd in this time with mass communication and everything available to everybody that no celebrity who gets press...
Well, Goldie Hawn has turned up in
the... So I hear. You know, my ex-husband gave her first acting job while we were still married. She was a dancer.
Oh, really?
And he put her into a situation comedy, yes. So I know Goldie, and when I go back, I've heard that she's been up, so I'm going to get in touch with her when I get back.
She's
and
very
see,
interesting.
See what I can do to light some fires there, and I think I'm going to bring some people over. To the States. I think Freddie Silva's going to come over. He has to come get his green card renewed, so I think I can maybe produce something with him over there. And I've produced lots of programs over there. I've produced programs with Peter Sorensen a fair amount because we're just old friends. And Michael Glickman.
And Simon Peter.
And Simon Peter. And George Wingfield.
Oh, poor George.
Poor George.
You see? Again, the early researchers, they really could not
poor
take the
George.
Heat. They were so taken by surprise. It, in a way, it's a form of innocence. They went into this completely innocent, without knowledge, actually.
Yes.
And with a lot of enthusiasm, and from the goodness of their heart. And suddenly, they couldn't understand why the very people who they trusted to be like them, suddenly turn on them like that and trip them up. You see, if you don't have ego, nothing can hurt you. That's if you have ego, you're terribly vulnerable, actually. Because once your ego is attacked, you can't recover. So it's best not to have any. It's much more powerful. Leave that behind. Who cares what they say? Let's see some evidence to back up their claims. That's what I think.
Yes.
You know? Well, we provide evidence. When I say something, when I say it affects the plants at the cellular level, I have evidence to back this up. When I say there's an energy field that damages camera, I have evidence to back this up. I don't have any evidence to back up the hoaxes. None whatsoever. I live here. I'm surrounded by crop circle. I know who comes here and moves around.
What about the dowsing rods giving dead indications of, you know, people we like, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, dowsing rods is not... dowsing rods is fine. Common sense is better, I think. It's subjective, actually, dowsing rod.
Yeah.
There's a lot of subjectivity in that. And sometimes you're more perceptive, other times you're not so perceptive, and we affect the outcome of the experiment always. So I think that dowsing rod has to be coupled with common sense and reason and feet on the ground and evidence of our senses.
You speak about this really beautifully, really beautifully. It's so really inspirational, you know, to hear and intelligent to hear the way you speak about this. These are just the ways I think about it also, and I love listening to you speak so intelligently.
Well, it is very important to tackle it from our three centers. It's very interesting. This is something I've studied for many, many years. When we only see life or reality from one of our center of perception, let's say we see it from the head, and we fall into a dogmatic mindset, we think we have a patent on reality and we know what is real, but actually we only see a tiny aspect of it. We only see a third of the picture. We need the physical senses to see and gather evidence, mm-hmm. and we need the intuition and the feeling. Mm-hmm. And the three together is formidable. If you have the three centers linked together and no ego, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it is so solid. Mm-hmm. Nothing can budge that. And you have to approach that phenomenon in that state, I'm afraid. Otherwise, it's you're at risk.
I would presume that when you have groups, they are pretty much all impressed by your work with them, yes?
Well, we work together and we try to, you know, strengthen. We try to strengthen our vision and we try to understand this properly and serve it properly and make sure that it's spread out as much as possible. And we try to keep our head and not to be swayed by these scares and these tactics, which mm-hmm. are quite crude, in fact. Well, because it's a group of like-minded people and we renew our intent all the time and we keep our head clear, we're making headway. And it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, so I'm sure that the people who work with you get lined up in this kind of positive reality. Yes, they don't
well,
walk
they wouldn't
out
come near
skeptical.
Me. They wouldn't come near me if they did.
No, right.
They keep well away.
Francine, one of the things that I keep thinking about myself, and maybe it's even a silly thing to think about, but I wonder, where's the mind in which these decisions are made, in which the architects and the designers and the artists are deciding on the shapes and working them out and working out where they land? Mm-hmm. Is that a silly question to even ask or even to speculate about?
Well, it is an awesome mind. It is an awesome mind. We couldn't do this. I mean, to keep a train of thought going for 20 years that evolves logically, you know, to keep a train of thought coming through for 20 years systematically, I couldn't do that.
I mean, are they sitting around a conference table somewhere saying, oh no, let's make it 6 this time, or we'll do 11? Oh,
I don't
no.
know. We can't see what's above us.
We can't see what's above us.
We can't. We can't comprehend what is at a higher level than us. We can't comprehend what's below us.
Yes.
We can understand the lower realms, animals and so on. We can see that. We can see them and understand. We cannot understand above us.
No, perhaps that is all one can say, because it just
boggles
the mind.
It's a bigger dimension. It's a higher dimension. It's like watching ants in the garden. We can watch them. They can't see us.
Indeed. I'm very well aware that we're being watched and we're not watching them, right?
It's a bigger scale, I think. It's from a bigger scale, from a higher level, to me.
So just to leave it at that and not even presume that we could even
Well, we can. I mean, we can appreciate it. We can rise us. It's here to lift us up.
Yes, appreciate it.
It's That's here to make us more universal beings.
How far in advance would we have to tell you when we wanted to you to speak? We're putting together just the beginnings of hoping to bring a group.
Well, we'd come to your conference. We would build it around coming to your conference.
It's mid-July, the conference.
Well, Simon Peter will make the arrangements for
us,
you know,
yes.
And I'm sure we'll
I'd be very, very happy to do something. I would be also very happy to come to America. I want to go to America.
Ah.
I want to speak there.
Do you have plans?
I don't have plans, but I'm open to plans.
Goodness,
doing really
fall?
Well. I'm going to Canada this fall, but I suppose, I don't know what, Los Angeles. What were you thinking for the, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm thinking different things. I'm thinking maybe a celebrity evening. I'm going to call Goldie and see if she can get some media folks together. I'm thinking a public evening where it's advertised and an auditorium where people can come.
Or
and
public,
I'm thinking,
or a public day-long thing.
And I'm thinking day-long, and maybe, it depending if it's just one person day-long, but if there's more than one, maybe a weekend. And my living room is a wonderful gathering place, but I'm thinking that's too small at this point, you know, 30 people. Mm. We want more than that.
It's important there's something good going, you know, strong going in America, actually.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to call Goldie.
We've had some turncoats this summer, American turncoats, and it worries me.
Turncoats?
People who've turned, swapped sides.
On crop circles? Mm. In America?
No, Americans. Ron Russell has turned coat, actually. Ron and Simeon, and I think that's what Colin Andrew is parroting, actually. He's parroting what they've done with that little machine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you put your faith in something like that, the machine reads energy. Crop circles are made on sites of energy, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There is energy here. This is all a sacred site.
Yeah.
There's energy buzzing everywhere, all sorts of energies. And only you go in a crop circle, you get a result. Great! Sometimes I go in cross circles, it affects my camera. Lovely! Other times I go in cross circles, doesn't affect my camera. Doesn't mean it's fake!
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the conclusion that's wrong.
Right.
And they're using that. And then they did an experiment with watching hoaxes at work, and they watched the hoaxes doing the R. And the machine gave a good reading. So instead of saying, well, that machine's rubbish, it's unreliable, they said, aha, the hoaxes are part of the phenomenon.
Oh, I know. Every permutation of confusion has now entered the scene. Yes.
It's comical, but it's not comical.
Yes.
Because for people who don't know anything, and for people who think science is God or is a religion, and a little machine has all the answer, and you can discuss, you know, there are many, many aspects to consider before you make that pronouncement. And to put all your faith in a little machine, and then suddenly think, oh, well, this is proof that the hoaxes are, you know, can magically produce that energy in a crop formation and go back to America and start spreading that around.
Mm-hmm.
I am very disappointed
in
them. Very, very disappointed. They should know better. And it's, again, it is the ego that is leading there.
Isn't it amazing how conflict and controversy and animosity has entered?
Totally unnecessary. As far as I'm concerned, I see that we are in serious trouble, humanity, at the moment. We've gone too far in our mindset, and it's very dangerous. We're going down a blind alley at full speed. And these crop circles wouldn't come here if it wasn't desperate. I'm quite sure of it. There's a desperation there. And it's trying to come in, and everything is closing the door. Everything and everybody is closing the door on their faces and preventing that from being seen and from being shown. And all I'm trying to do is open the back door.
Yes.
But when people do that, and they close the door in front of people, they actually prevent ordinary people from finding out about it.
Yes,
and
they're
denying them the opportunity to expand their consciousness and to grow, you know, in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize the responsibility they're carrying. We carry a huge responsibility when we deal with this subject.
That's beautiful.
I'm not very happy, you know, we turn cold like that on the flimsiest of evidence. But they, again, they were not really touched in their spirit. They didn't understand them. Because if they can't tell the difference between our symbol and, you know, the magnetic field at Avery Truslow, there's something wrong with their perception.
Right.
But the whole of America, he's got way Ron Russell, unfortunately. So America will, you know, I'd just like something to compensate there. It concerns me.
Well, mostly America is just in the dark. I'll tell you, he doesn't have much influence.
I never heard of him before.
Right?
I saw him.
Most of the people really just don't know what's going on. They still think it's Doug and Dave, if they know anything at all. It's just amazing.
I can convince people. I have never left a room without everybody being convinced.
That's what I asked you. Yes, I would believe that would be true. Because you're really very cogent, and of course the truth will continue to just be more powerful.
I spoke to 40 engineers once, and they were given a special course to help the power of creativity, and they wanted to give them a shot by making me come there and telling them about something so outrageous, so outside their mold of thinking, to break the mold that they're in, and that was interesting. So, very skeptical men, 30 or 40 of them. And afterwards, after the presentation, I had to ask them, how many of you still think they're man-made? One man put his hand up.
Oh, dear.
And I said, oh, I'm surprised. I thought you would all put your hand up.
Oh.
And one guy said, if you'd asked us before the lecture, we would.
We all would have. Oh, isn't that cute? That's so sweet. Yes.
So when you show people real evidence,
yes,
when you show people facts, they're not so quick at denying.
Mm-hmm.
They have something to gauge. They have something to compare. They have some facts at their disposal for change. But the programs on television with Colin Andrews, there's no facts in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all 85% and the electromagnetic field electrocutes the soul. I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous? You know,
and people think, oh, well, it's supposed to electrostate. I don't know what it does, but Professor Andrews said with his money from Rockefeller, he knows what it... Yeah, people are so confused, but they're not given anything to compare it with. They're not giving any facts.
Yes.
I always start by talking about the physical aspect of the crop circle. What is it? What it is? What is it? How is it constructed? How does it affect the plant? What does it do to the soil? What does it look like? What size are they? What are they made in? And all that. The facts. I give them the facts. And that can take about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Then I will show them a review of the history of Crop Circle, how it's been going in the past 20 years. And then I will then go into the metaphysical aspect of the phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've accepted that there is a phenomenon going on, what does it mean? That's got to be the next question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're beautiful, but what do they mean? They're symbolic. Each one is a symbol, and a symbol can be read. Knowledge was always transmitted through symbols. And we've got 15,000 crop circles recorded. Each one is a symbol. Each one has a huge amount of truth to tell us, huge amount of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the second aspect. Mm-hmm. What do they mean, the metaphysical? What is the inner meaning of these things? What is behind these symbols?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go into that, it is amazing what it opens.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third aspect, once we start to understand what they mean, what does it do to us?
Mm-hmm.
That's the spiritual aspect.
Mm-hmm.
How does it transform us?
Mm-hmm.
It transforms our perception. It really does. You only have to go to a lecture and your perception is completely transformed. You never see the world the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've seen something so stupendous. It's like the door's been opened to the universe and you've had a glimpse of something so amazing that you cannot look at your daily life in the same way. Immediately, it has a transformative effect. Just looking at the pictures on the slide.
And if you're fortunate enough to go in one, that gives you a powerfully profound experience.
Of course.
It changes your life forever.
Like it does. It does, because it acts on your molecule, actually. You receive that impression in your molecule, and it becomes part of you. But even just looking at the picture can do that. Even just having a calendar does that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I always encourage people, keep your pictures up, just keep looking at them. You know?
It grows on you, and once you accept that vision of the world, once you accept that that is a possibility, then you cannot look at the world in such a mechanistic way
anymore. Yes, absolutely.
It's not possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It puts a little chink of doubt in your certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And once there's a chink of doubt, there's a small opening, and then
it
gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and suddenly, before you know it, your mind has expanded and your horizons are much bigger, wider. You see, it's a transformation. It's a process of transformation. So that's how I do my workshop. I build them up from the physical. Yes, always. Always illustrated. It's a visual event.
You don't
can't
show
just
video, do you?
Well, sometimes I show, depends. Sometimes I talk about anomalies, so I could show, but it's more specific. But on the whole, It's really about familiarizing people with the phenomenon, and it's slide based actually.
Well, let me see. When I go back, I gotta see.
Well, that's really nice. It would be lovely.
Thank you for listening to theconversation.org, making sense of these times. Now that you've heard from us, we'd love to hear from you. Click the feedback button on the show's webpage and share your thoughts. We'll be posting new shows approximately once a week. If you would like to be emailed when new shows are posted, let us know. This show is brought to you by MightyCompanions.org, dedicated to encouraging the awareness of ourselves as a one life and providing a meeting ground for those who share that awareness.